Well, before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you this morning for your blessings at the Bethel Family Camp. We pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to bless them, and may the Word of God continue to speak to their hearts and challenge them to relate to you as their Father. We ask, dear Lord, that you will be with Pastor as he ministers at Bethel. We pray that you continue to strengthen him. And we ask, dear Father, that you will bless us as we study your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The previous week, Pastor was talking to us about how we are called in different ways. We are called to salvation. We are called to be sanctified. We are separated to the gospel. And we learn what it means to serve. And then we can go into the specifics, what it means to be called by God in a very specific way. And this was the example that we see in Paul. The Roman church was the court of Jesus Christ. Paul was called to be an apostle. He was separated to the gospel. He received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. And that's the big picture. What was Paul's big picture when it came to service? In his heart, in his mind, he wanted all the nations, all the churches, to be obedient to the faith. That's what we read in chapter 1 and in verse 6. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. So the key thing is obedience. And that's what Pastor has been doing as he goes to Perth, as he goes to India and Myanmar. The key thing is for the people to be obedient to the faith for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, today, we are going to look at the life and ministry of Paul, at least some aspects. And we can see that Paul had a depth of spirituality. It's very important for us to consider today what it means to be spiritual. It's a word that is used in the world today. In fact, people tend to think that they are spiritual. They can be spiritual and not religious. Okay, today the millennials, there was an article about how they consider themselves as spiritual but not religious. No, to me, when we look at the idea of the word defined in the Bible, the word spiritual, what does it mean? Okay, so today we're just going to take a bit of time to understand that. What does it mean to be a spiritual being or to be a spiritual people? And one of the best examples is Paul. Paul was a person who was conscious of God. He related to God in everything that he did. You know, when you look at him, at his life, in his ministry, what stands out about him? The Lord. The Lord God is the person that he focused on as he served, as he related to the people. He was very conscious of God. And he was very conscious of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this was his big picture. Okay, obedience to the faith among the nations. And there are a number of things that we want to look at now. Basically, just two things today. Okay, let me highlight two. One, it is prayer. And two, it is service. And these were strong features in Paul's life: prayer and service. Okay, now in verse 8, we read, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." So thanksgiving was a priority in his life. Okay, the word first here is the, you know, in Greek is where you get the word proton. And the idea here is first. First thing that he will do. Not in terms of sequential, but a priority. The first thing that he would focus on is prayer and giving thanks. And this was something that you will read, if you take the time to read all his epistles. I took the time to read the first chapter of all his epistles, except Titus and Galatians. All the other epistles, Paul would give thanks. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4, "I thank my God." 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God." Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 1 verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." No matter what he went through, in whatever situation that he was in, he gave thanks to God for his grace and the mercies in his life. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, "We give thanks to God always." 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, "We are bound to give thanks always for you." 1 Timothy 1 verse 12, "I thank Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy 1 verse 3, "I thank God." Philemon 4, "I thank my God." You know, let's begin with this. A simple, straightforward principle. Is thanksgiving a part of our lives? Do we begin the day with thanksgiving? You know, we should. This is a very important principle of prayer. It is a priority. You know, we get up in the morning and there are many things that we will get down to doing. Our priority is to maybe get the children ready, to prepare ourselves. How about giving thanks to God? You know, I gave thanks to God as I reflected on the Easter week. There were so many things to give thanks for. There were those who were coming in for baptism, Mr. Chong, Uncle KK, wow. You know, for him to come and stand up there and to be baptized by Pastor. The person that I saw beaming the most was Ben Chong. He was very happy, right? I'm sure you're still happy. Yes. And I was talking to Sherry, and Sherry said, "You know, Pastor Mitch, in all my life, in my greatest dreams, I never felt that my dad will ever be on the stage being baptized. But you know, God has answered our prayers." And I rejoice with her, really. You know, memberships have its privileges. And one of them is, you know, you can get married in church without paying for the hall.
But too late, right?
Too late. Yes, you're right. But not so for your son. pass on, yes. Your privilege can pass on to the son. This one is transferable. But you know, we look forward. We look forward to his wedding next week. We rejoice. We give thanks. You know, let our hearts rejoice. You know, I rejoice when I one of the first times I'm not involved in the musical. And, you know, just to observe, to be involved in the worship on Easter Sunday. First time in a long time, I wasn't involved in anything. So I stood behind and I just wanted to soak in the whole atmosphere. It was a real joy just seeing so many people from behind 1,000 over people. And just being there, and one of the comments that came up was how, that our church is a very balanced church. See, this person said, I've been to many churches. It's either very old people or very young people. But your church is very balanced throughout. Young, the very young, then the young, the young people, the young adults, and then the older people. Wow, very balanced. Then the person made a very interesting comment. He said, wow, I was just looking at all the young girls in front. They look like they will make good wives. That was an amazing comment. I said, hope so. They'll make good wives. And there's this special thing that when people come into our midst, they look at Bethany and they see something different. I like to call this the glory of God. When the people seek to do the will of God. And these are things that we can give thanks for each day. Every day, make prayer a priority. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. In 1 Timothy and 2, verse 1, he uses the same word again. Therefore, I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Again, the priority of prayer and thanksgiving. We see this in Paul. So Paul practiced it. And when he came to 1 Timothy, he taught it. Can you see? He didn't teach this first. He practiced this. He showed it by his life through his writing. And then when in 1 Timothy, we see him teaching it. This was part of his life. And we can thank God for many things. And I'm going to challenge you. Begin the day with thanksgiving. Tomorrow is going to be a hard day. It's Monday. Begin the day with thanksgiving. Every morning before I do anything else, I take time to read the scriptures, memorize His word, and one of the things I do is to pray and give thanks. Take time. Take time to give thanks. Okay? So that's the first thing. Simple idea, yet an important idea. True, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was very conscious. He was very conscious of the Lord as his mediator. And there is only one mediator between God and us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, how he rose from the dead, how he ascended into heaven, and now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our mediator. He's our advocate. 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2. He is the propitiation for our sins. Only he can be the one who is pleading on our behalf, on behalf of our sins and the problems that we have in our lives. He gives us the kind of hope and purpose. Okay? And here we see it is a natural and good response to thank God. And so for Paul, he gave thanks to God for the Roman Christians because their faith was well known throughout the earth, throughout the world. And he was very grateful. He was grateful that this Gentile church in Rome was growing. The grace of God was working in their lives, and somehow their faith spread. It spread throughout the world. Everybody heard about their faith. It became well known. Okay? I thank my God through Jesus Christ, Romans 1 verse 8, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, throughout the known world. Their faith was spoken throughout. Now, it's very interesting to see this. Their faith, okay? The faith. You see, in Greek, there is a the in front of the faith, and this is what we call objective faith. Okay? And on this side is subjective faith. And this is where we want to be. Objective faith, biblical faith, defined by the Bible. Subjective faith. People can say, you know, I can faith in anything. But this is where the Roman church faith is. This is where we want to be. Okay? This is objective faith meeting with subjective faith. Can you see this? So the shaded area is where we want to be. And this area was where the Roman church was. This was a faith that was well known. It was recognized. There was the fruit of love. It was outstanding that people would talk about. Their faith was commended by Paul. Paul noticed this, and you know, Paul commended on it with reference to their faith. Recently, there was this Korean lady who came in our midst, brought three of her nephew, and she used to come to our youth conference quite a number of years ago, almost 20 years ago. But she remembered those special occasions. And when I first met her, she was crying. There were tears of joy just meeting Pastor Mark and me and with the others. And throughout the meal, we were having a lunch. She was just tearing all the time. She would recall what happened. And there was just this tremendous sense of joy and regard. And, you know, she would go to wherever she is and tell people about Bethany, how Bethany is her home. This is where she learned many important truths from the scriptures. Dr. Davis in America, wherever he goes, he would talk about Bethany. He would tell them, you know, there is this church in Singapore, somewhere in China. No. In Singapore, not in China, he will qualify it. And you know, there's a church called Bethany. And he will talk about Bethany. When we go to India, Bethany is Jerusalem. You know, just to be able to go to Singapore, to Bethany, wow. Our faith is well known. Collectively, our faith as a church is well known. And, you know, this is something we should thank God for. In verse 12, it talks about the mutual faith. How they were encouraged together. How Paul would be, I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. You know, our faith is something that we can encourage each other with. This is something that, you know, for me, when we spend time with Pastor, most of the time he would be encouraging us. But there was once he was talking to us about this and he was saying, you know, you also can encourage me. Oh, for a moment, we all, how can we encourage you? He didn't say anything else besides, you know, he didn't go beyond. But he said that this is a kind of faith where we can encourage each other. It is a faith. The quality of this faith is that it's mutual. And as we, Paul can be encouraged by the Roman church. Wow, that is a very special thing. And so Paul gave thanks for this faith that was well known. And so Paul prayed. Paul prayed for the Roman church. He prayed for them. He ceaselessly prayed for them. He remembered them in prayer. And I was just going through all the different prayers that he made for each church, consistently, determinedly, with faith, with love. He prayed for them. You know, perhaps today we should really think, is prayer a part of our lives? If we want to be spiritual, to be a spiritual people, to do things in a spiritual way, then prayer should be a part of our life and our ministry. Okay, do you have any questions you want to raise up at this point of time? Anybody? Okay, if not, we go on to the next part where it talks about service. And this is what Paul wrote. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Okay? And here we see some principles with reference to serving God. So there is the priority of prayer. There are principles in which we serve God. Okay? Now the word serve in Greek is where we get the word latruo. What it means is service can be a form of worship to God. Okay? Pastor, in 2 weeks ago, explained to us different ways of looking at service. It can be a doulos idea where we look at ourselves as servants, born servants, a slave before God. We can look at the word diakonos, where it talks about being a minister, to serve in humble ways. Now, this time, it is the word latrua means we offer worship in everything we do. It is like worshiping God. It's like giving our best to God in worship. And so we can see that Paul was a very spiritual person. He was a man who was spiritually mature, and he was someone who practiced this again and again and again. He was someone who sought to do service, to render this in terms of worship to God. Turn with me to Romans 12. And you can see this a bit better. Okay, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the word service is the noun form of latruo. Okay? And it's the same idea. It is offering service to God as worship. And here he sees himself as a living sacrifice. Okay, the word living sacrifice is what we call an oxymoron. Okay, a sacrifice cannot be living. A sacrifice is dead. You have to kill the animal and it's dead. And then you burn it. That's it. But here, we see the sacrifice as something that is living. Okay, and that's what we are meant to be. We are meant to be a living sacrifice. And for Paul, his perspective is, it is worship. We are an offering to God. So, you know, whenever we serve, do you see whatever we do in Bethany, whether it is cleaning up, whether it is leading in worship, whether it is whatever we do, do we see it as offering worship to God? If worship is not a part of our lives, then this idea of service perhaps may not be, you know, you may not be able to apply it as much. But, you know, every time when we go and worship the Lord, we put our heart and soul into worship. Now, during the Easter concert, you know, I was very thankful as I stood behind and I saw how the choir sang. Especially the scene where we see Jonathan carrying the cross, where Jesus was carrying the cross. My heart was deeply moved. A few years ago, I did that. Remember? Yeah, I was playing. Yeah, so straight away, you know, I felt for him. I identified with him. It was very tough to play the role of the Lord Jesus. But, you know, my heart was moved again when I saw him carrying the cross. And the song, Down the Villa della Rosa. And wow, when the song was played and as the choir sang, you know, my heart was deeply moved. Moved by the song, moved by what I saw, moved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see that everybody was putting their heart into what they were doing. And that's our challenge. You know, whenever we serve, do we put our heart and soul into it? Here we see, let's go back to Romans 1. Here we see Paul, that your faith is spoken out throughout the whole world, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Okay, so his spirit was involved. He served the Lord with his spirit. Now, what does that mean? Okay. Now, you turn with me to 1 Corinthians for a while. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read in verse 14. Okay. And in verse 14, we read, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Here is a person who is, the word natural here is the word carnal. It is the word, you know, fleshly. It's a person who does things without any consciousness of God. Okay, so we can do things mechanically. We can just go through the motion of doing things. Okay, but on the other hand, there is what we call the spiritual man. In verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is rightly judged by no one. Okay, and so we see another aspect, and here it is the spiritual man, a person who is spiritual. He can discern the things of the Spirit. He can recognize what is important as he serves. And here we see the idea of serving in the Spirit. In other words, is to serve within the realm of the spiritual. Can you see this? It is to offer worship to God. So he puts his heart, his soul into what he's doing with his spirit. But not just pure determination. You see, you can do things with pure determination. No. It is to do things with his spirit, but in a spiritual way. Can you see? There is a big difference. There is a difference between doing something with determination, pure determination, positive thinking, and to do something in a spiritual way. And this can apply in everything that you do. whether it is raising your children, whether it is, you know, bring your child to school, whether it is being a mother or a father, being a husband or wife, being a worker, wherever. You see, we can do things differently. And to me, as Christians, we can do things in a spiritual manner, where we are conscious of God, where we are prayerful, we are thankful, and here we are conscious of God even as we serve, as we offer worship. And of course, here it is with reference to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see Paul seeking. Okay, so there are two, in the Greek is the word en. So the first en in the spirit is internal. Okay, then there is a second end in the gospel of his son. The second end is the sphere. So the first end is the sphere of the person internally. The second end is the sphere of the physical, the extent of the gospel that can be spread to other nations. So there are two spheres here. One, the internal sphere, and then there is the outer sphere, where he seeks to bring the gospel to all the nations. You see, his intent, his goal, his calling is to bring the gospel to the Gentiles and to make them obedient to the faith. Can you see? Wow, you know, that to me is a great work. And this is something we can do. You know, during the week when we were in Myanmar, I was amazed. I was amazed not just by the teaching that Pastor brought across. It's amazing what he taught. You know, hour after hour after, you know, 1 hour, truths, principles from his life. Wow, it's truly amazing. You know, there's a verse in John where he talks about rivers of living water. Wow, we were sitting in front of rivers of water flowing to us from pastor, amazing, rivers of living water. Oh, at the end of it, I was so alive. Okay, but the amazing thing was that he was able to stand there for 7-8 hours a day. That's not humanly possible. To stand there and preach truth hour after hour. Wow, I tell you. You know, just preparing for 1 hour to teach you this morning is very hard, really. Took me many hours. Mine is the other way. 7-8 hours just for 1 hour. He's, wow. Amazing. It must have taken him 40 years to do that. And I was just so amazed, still amazed, by what he did that 1 week. Every day for 4 days he did that. Oh, amazing. And truly you can see the difference between a very spiritual pastor and one who's not. One who's naturally inclined. See, our challenge is to be different from the world. If we do the things that the world does, if we are just like the world, we are just like mere men. But as Christians, as servants of God, there must be a difference. And the difference is that we are conscious of God. We seek to do things in a spiritual way. Not mechanically, not in the flesh, but deeply with great understanding and with zeal. And that's our challenge. Okay, serving in the gospel of the Son of God. You know, I really had a great time on Easter Sunday. While I was standing behind, there was a man who was invited by Gary, the oboe player. And it was his friend. So he was standing there, and I was standing there. Then I just went to him, and that was about half an hour before worship started. And I stood with him. I got to know him. He's a person who sells musical instruments. And I found out that he used to be from St. Andrew's Secondary School. Wow, straight away kakilang. And we started talking about St. Andrew's, Mr. Harry Tan, who used to be our principal, and so on. And I had a great time talking to him. And then he begins to ask questions about denominations, why there are so many denominations. He's not a Christian. And I began to take a bit of time to explain things to him and to share the gospel with him. And that was my privilege. It was a real joy just standing there sharing the gospel to him before worship. During the week, yesterday, in fact, I was taking a Uber ride to church. And the person who was driving the car, straight away he wind down the window. And he called to me, "Hi Mitch, how are you?" I say, "Who is this person?" Then I went in, I say, "Hi, how are you?" But I don't recognize him. one thing I learned from my dad. My dad say, when people say hello to you, say hello back. You don't know the person, but never mind, just say hello. So because my dad knows so many people, some people go up to him and say, "How are you, Mr. Tan?" He say, "Hello, how are you?" Then after that, my mom asked him, "Who is this person?" I say, "I don't know." So I went in, be polite and be respectful. I think he's about maybe 10, 20, 15 years older than me. And he said, "Oh, how are you, Mitch? How are you?" Then he looked at me for a moment. Then he was trying to place me. Say, "Do you play squash?" Say, "No, I didn't play squash." So I put two together. He more inclined to sports. I say, "I used to play water polo." He said, "Oh, okay. I used to play water polo at Queenstown swimming pool." He still remember the coach. His name is Kenneth Key. And so I say, "Yes, I used to play water polo at Queenstown years ago." And so we started talking about water polo. And then he started talking about used to go to church, and he stopped going to church because the leaders all fight. He used to go to one of the churches in Singapore. Then I began to try to share the gospel to him again. This was another opportunity. And then he went on to talk about, being old, it's hard. Then he said this, "We old people," he said to me, "we old people, we all got to take care of ourselves, and so on." I was a bit upset by that. "What do you mean by we old people?" So never mind, let me focus on sharing the gospel. So I carry on sharing the gospel with this person, and then at the end of it, he said, he brought me to church, and so I told him, "Thank you, uncle." Just wanted to remind him that I was still younger than him. But, I just had this joy sharing the gospel with people. When you share the gospel with people, it is serving with not just a mechanical thing. It is in the spiritual realm. It is being sensitive to the Spirit. It is being filled with the Spirit. Can you see this? And that's important. That's how Paul went about serving. Okay? And this is something for us. He was conscious of God. God is my witness. Okay? And that's our challenge as we serve. Okay, any questions you want to ask about this? Okay, if not, we go on to the third thing. So, I've been talking to you about three different things. Okay, one, the priority of prayer. Let's make prayer a priority. Two, we talk about principles of service. How do we serve God? Let's be conscious of God. Let's serve as this is worship to God. Let's do it because it is the gospel that we want to reach out to people. And that was what Paul sought to do. He really wanted to bring the gospel to the world and for them to be obedient to God. And let's be conscious of God. Asher, my godson, now he's in Anglican High School, Sec 1. So at the beginning of the year, he was on the first day of school. So I asked Chua, how was his first day of school? He said, you should ask him. And so I asked Asher, how was your first day of school? He said, wow, this school very holy. That was his expression. This school very holy. Morning say prayer. Everywhere I go, verses all over the school. At the end of the day, I felt very holy. That was his reaction to the first day of school. I say, very good. I hope you were sick too. And you know, along the way, somehow, whether it is ISAS, whether it is Sunday school, whether it's Anglican High School, along the way, his Instagram, I was just reading one day, he said, you know, I don't want to write things that are not that important anymore. I shall now write things about Christian things. So he started writing for a while. Then after he stopped. Well, today I'm going to see him and talk to him a bit more. You see, this consciousness is so important to us. Okay, now, thirdly, we see the idea of prayer and the will of God. Okay? Let's go back to Romans 1. And in Romans 1, here we see Paul praying, making requests, if by some means, verse 10, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Okay? So now this was something that he was concerned about. He was concerned about going to be with the Roman Christians. Okay, but along the way, as he planned this, he was hindered. He could not come. In verse 13, now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often plan to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. So he planned. Okay, so he prayed and he planned. He planned to be with the Roman church. But as he planned, he was hindered. There were things that hindered him from going forward, from going to be in Rome. Okay? So on one hand, we can plan. But on the other hand, whether this is the will of God is another thing. And that's our challenge. How do we see the will of God? You know, he was hoping to be with them. He was hoping to help them further. Sure, their faith was known throughout the world. It was a mutual faith. But he realized that their faith needed to grow further. Their faith needs to be established. Their faith needs to be strengthened. Their faith needed to be developed further. And this is basically what we are trying to do with many of the churches in India, in Myanmar, and in Perth. They are not yet established. And that's why we need to go. We need to go to help them to be established. And so, taking in account for the Lord's will, he was hoping. He was hoping in the sphere, in the realm of God's God's will. God's will has many ways. Somehow along in the sphere of God's will, he can find a way to Rome. Can you see? And he was praying. He was praying, Lord, let me go. But at this point of time, he was hindered. Until now. Okay? He was hindered. And what are the things that can hinder us? One of them is the evil one. The work of the evil one. He can prevent the work of God from extending. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 18. Okay. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. So can the evil one hinder the work of God? My answer is yes. He can. And that's something that Paul was conscious of too. Time and time again, he wanted to be with the Thessalonian church. And here we see Paul wanting to be in Rome. But he was hindered. There was persecution against him. This is something that is stated actually in Romans chapter 15. Okay. Now, if you really want to know the full idea of this will of God, you got to wait until we come to Romans 15. Okay. Because he explains this in depth. Okay. How he planned to go to Rome. For this reason, verse 22, for this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now no longer having a place in these parts. So he was around the area. He wanted to go, you know, as he journeyed to Spain. Hopefully he will be able to be with them. Okay, so he prayed. Now, in verse 31, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, and that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Mutual faith idea. How we can be encouraged, we can refresh each other. And so, can the evil one hinder the work of God? And my answer is yes. And that's why we need to pray. Because this is in the spiritual realm. It's only in prayer. There are some things that go beyond our control. Paul plans. You see, man can plan, but God directs. Okay, that's from the book of Proverbs. We can plan, but God has to direct our ways. Where he directs us, how we go in life, that's something we have to pray about. That's something we have to discern along the way. Sometimes things don't go the way we want it to. Very often. And especially with the work of God. One of the things you realize in Myanmar, it's challenging. The mission's work is challenging. You know, just being there recently with Pastor, wow, you realize this is not easy work. You can preach your heart out. Pastor can preach for 20 years to them. Whether they learn, whether they will apply, whether it will become a part of their lives is two different things. Work can be hindered. People can come in. People can destroy the work. People can spread all kinds of wrong ideas. worldly ideas, carnal ideas. So during this week, when the last time when we were there, you know, pastors set out a blueprint of what a church should be. How should we serve? How a blueprint, you know, SOP with reference to how a pastor should be. Wow, that was so refreshing for me. Coming from him, 40 over years of experience. And I was deeply, deeply challenged. But you realize, the people, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy still. But nevertheless, we will still go. Nevertheless, we will pray. So prayer is so important. That's why he makes prayer a priority. Paul realizes this is not just man's work. It is spiritual work. It is spiritually challenging. Things can be hindered. And the challenge is to pray. It is to pray with reference to the will of God among the Gentiles. Okay, any questions? Anybody? Anybody want to raise up anything? Yes, Winston.
Testing. Thanks. Pastor Mitch, you know, we really appreciate the accounts that we hear about Myanmar.
Yeah.
The challenges that the people in Myanmar face over there seems a bit remote to us in Singapore. But do you think that the challenges that they face over there are the same that we also encounter in Singapore?
Well, I think the first issue, and I think for many of us, and also for our brethren there, is the problem of sin. I think we struggle with sin here. I think they struggle with sin too. They struggle with issues like pride. For example, one of those pastors was sharing with us that, you know, when we were here learning under pastor, they said that, oh, these things don't apply to us. It's only when they went to Philippines to study further. And then when he was there, he realized the truth, the kind of qualitative teachings we have here. It was only when he was there and he realized, wow, this is the real thing. You see, sometimes it takes them to learn things along the way. You can teach them, but it takes years later. Then they realize, wow, that is what you've been teaching me. I should have listened to you 20 years ago. So anywhere we go, as long the person is a human being, there will always be the problem of sin. There will always be the problem of pride. There's always the problem of the details of our hearts. I know better. And that's always a challenging thing. And so for Paul, for him, you know, to me, he's a great apostle. And yet he's willing to humble himself, to pray, to seek God, to not take things for granted, to commit the ministry that he was going to seek to do in Rome in prayer, that perhaps within the will of God, he will be able to do this. And of course, we know along the way, he's still trying to find his way there. But better still, he wrote the book of Romans. Since I can't come to you, I might as well write to you. So he wrote the book. This is, wow, his thesis on salvation and on Christian living, about obedience to the faith. The main thing, obedience. He begins with obedience to the faith, right? In chapter 1, you turn to the last chapter. What was his prayer in chapter 16? Chapter 16, this was his prayer again. Now to him, verse 25, who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. That is the big picture. Obedience. We've heard this from Pastor many times. What's the main thing at the end of the day? Bottom line, obedience. Can we be obedient to the Lord, to the faith, to what He has called us to do? That's our challenge. And that's something we want to consider. First thing, do we pray? Do we pray at all? Seems like a very basic thing, but if we have not established our basics, we can never go beyond. So it's always good to visit basic things. You know, have we established our basics? Have we prayed? Are we relying on God? Do we know how to give thanks to God? I mean, God has blessed us so much. Later on, Pastor Mark will share something that we really thank God for. During the week, he went for a procedure. And there was a lump in his intestines. And this procedure was meant to find out what it was, whether it's cancerous, whether it's not. And we were, you know, I was concerned for him. Of course, he's my twin brother. And I was concerned for him. And I was praying for him. But the thing is, when a doctor, you know what you can see, if you've got time, go and see the picture that he has. It's quite a big thing. But when the doctor went in and looked at a scope, went in to try to find the thing, it disappeared. It was gone. Wow. It really disappeared. It's no longer there. Is that the same spot? So the doctor said that maybe it could be a cyst, it could be something that burst, but it's no longer there. Wow, when I heard that, I was really thankful. Did God blasted the thing? Yeah, maybe. We don't know. But it's no longer there. We prayed about it, and something happened along the way. We don't know. But we do know that it's no longer there. And I gave thanks. I gave thanks to God. Thank God for my dear brother, Mark. He's alive today, still. And he's going to bug me for the rest of my life. No, not at all. You know, it's... Mutual faith. Okay, and you know, we should give thanks. We really should give thanks. You know, let's settle our basics. If you have not settled the basics, you're not going to go beyond a certain level. Let's settle our basics first. Are we praying? Are we giving thanks to God? Is that a priority in our life? Secondly, even as we serve, in any way we serve, whom do we serve? Do we serve mechanically? Do we serve because we want to please people? Or do we serve because we are conscious of God? Him we serve. God is my witness. Oh, that's an amazing thing to say. I don't think many of us can say, God is my witness, I did this. Oh. Only Paul dares to say this. God is my witness. I serve in my spirit, in the gospel of his Son. Wow. How do we serve the Lord? Are we conscious of Him? And thirdly, do we pray for the will of God in our lives? What is the will of God in our life? Do we pray? I appreciate what Pastor said 2 weeks ago. If we have not even settled the basic thing, our hearts are not even separated to God. We are not given to the gospel. We are not focused on the Lord. You will never find that specific will of God. Never. It's only when we seek to be spiritual, when we learn to pray, when we serve in the right way, when the Word of God is in our heart, God writes upon our heart and our mind. And then when we serve, it's not serving carnally, it is not serving for our own goals. It is serving because we honor God and we lift His name up. And when I saw that happen during the Easter week, wow, my heart was so deeply moved and challenged. And do we pray? Do we pray for the will of God in our life? Yes, sometimes we struggle. Sometimes things are not, they don't go the way we want to. But you look at Paul, he never gave up. He kept praying. Somehow, Lord, show me a way that I can go to be in Rome. Amazing. And since I cannot go at this point of time, let me write a whole 16 chapters to you. That is Paul. May we learn how to pray and consider the will of God in things we do. Okay? Any questions, anybody? Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we want to pray and thank You for the wonderful example of Paul, Your apostle, and how he went about serving You. And we pray, dear Lord, that You will help us, Lord, to be able to look at His example and follow, because we know that Paul followed the Lord Jesus. And even as we follow Paul, we would follow the Lord Jesus too. And we ask, dear Lord, that You will help us to make prayer so much more a part of our lives. We pray that we can serve You in the right way, with a right heart, with a right mind, with a right spirit. We pray that we can learn to pray even more with reference to Your will. Your will be done in our lives. And we pray, dear Father, that You will bless us and be with Mark later as he brings forth Your word at the morning service. We pray that You will empower him and bless all of us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.